ahead of his live town hall this evening on television. We get to talk with Maine Governor Paul LePage. Good morning, Governor. What can people expect when they tune in this evening? ABC 7 in Bangor will have it starting at 8 o'clock, and others can maybe watch it online. It'll also be piped up to the county, we understand, up to WHEM. What can people expect this evening, sir?
Well, we're going to be talking, pretty much the regular town hall. We're going to talk about the four key issues that are facing, preventing Maine from being prosperous, and that is our taxes, our energy costs, and certainly student loans, along with continue our effort in getting people who are struggling on welfare the work skills necessary to get back to work.
Well, we welcome you back to the Queen City, Governor, and hopefully.
Morning, George.
Hi, how you doing? Is this going to be a forum or town hall? There was some talk yesterday of exactly what the format would be. Could you give us a little daylight to that one?
Sure. Well, I'm going to give an intro for maybe 10 minutes or so, and then we're going to open up questions from constituents around the state.
Okay.
There's been some question as to who gets to get in. You can imagine that some people are wondering.
I have no idea. All I know is I'm going to show up, and I don't know. I think it's first come, first serve, as I understand it. And I made one comment. Please do not do what the president does and stage the audience, because it's just very obvious.
Well, I guess I have to ask the question then. Apparently, the only way you get into the meeting tonight, according to the news releases we're getting, is that...
George, you listening to those news releases again?
There you go.
That is a funny line. But the announcement came yesterday that you had to apply for a ticket to Channel 7, and they would clear Democrats, Republicans, and Independents in. You're suggesting that you can come to the door and get in.
Well, I'm suggesting that I'm sure that there's only so many seats, but, I mean, it's first come, first serve. As far as I'm concerned, I have not said anything, nor do I know. Nobody's approached me about any restrictions. I believe it's a first come, first serve type of situation. If, I mean, after all, I'm the guest, and I'm not Channel 7. I'm just showing up to give a town hall.
Good.
Do you know the... I know the answer to this. I think George knows the answer to this, but we're going to ask it anyway because people are wondering. Do you know what the questions are ahead of time?
No. Absolutely not, because, Rick, in all fairness to everybody around the state, I don't do well in prepared statements, as you well can discern for the last 6 years.
We've heard that.
there was a rumor about that the other day.
But we couldn't get that confirmed from sources.
No way. No, I take them as they come, and I do the best I can.
Okay, well, let me ask you another thing here. It's fun to have you on here and trying to get past the filter of who's saying what. We've heard you probably won't do a state of the state. You might do a state of the state. You're not going to do the state of the state. This town meeting tonight was in replacement of state of the state. What's the truth?
No, the truth is I'm going to do a state of the state in writing so that people can't change my words.
Okay. So you will not do a live state of the state, and you send a letter to the legislature.
Right. It makes no sense. I mean, last week they tried to impeach me. This week they're throwing rotten tomatoes at me. Why would I go stand in front of them for an hour and a half?
Is there a risk that you lose an opportunity to transmit a message to the people of Main Street with your words from the podium?
Well, I do. I'm doing that every week, Rick. I've come to the conclusion, like, tonight is an effort where I'm going to do tonight what I do every single week, and I'm going to continue doing till Election Day. And so if people want to hear me, they can. I'm going to give plenty of opportunity to people to hear our message. It's the four messages that I believe that the legislature has ignored greatly since I've been here, particularly energy. When energy prices now are dropping and they are signing 20-year contracts above the market rates so their friends can be safe for the next 20 years, I find that appalling. I just find it appalling. I just can't believe that the people of Maine are suffering and trying to get ahead. We're one of the poorest states as far as per capita income, and these folks in the legislature are increasing electricity rates. And MPBN attempted to say, look, we'll come in and we'll put television, we'll televise your sessions in the House and the Senate, and they absolutely refuse to let him in. I just can't believe that what goes on in Augusta, and I think the Maine people deserve to know.
I'm reading a new report this morning that's out from the Pew Charitable Trust that says that only two counties in Maine saw an increase in their average incomes since 2000. You wouldn't be surprised at that, I'm sure.
York and Cumberland?
Absolutely not. I mean, the legislature works to keep wages down. I mean, how can you sign 20-year contracts at above-market rates? How can you just, you know, why don't they just come right out and ask businesses to leave Maine? Because they're certainly not doing anything to keep them here. We're struggling with our logging industry, and we keep losing our paper mills, and they do absolutely nothing to help. So, no, George, I'm not surprised, and it's appalling, and it's quite frankly, it's really frightening to see the amount of socialists that we have in Augusta.
Well, the surprise of this Pew survey that came out was one of the counties that showed an increase. Rick said Cumberland, New York. Cumberland was one of them at 4.2. But the other one was Washington County at 1.8. Huh. Washington County's growth is surprising, I guess, to me. The Sunrise County median income rose from the lowest in the state to the third lowest at $38,000, mainly due to drops in Aroostook and Piscataquis counties. So Washington County went up, but it was because Aroostook and Piscataquis went down.
Yeah, that's true, but at the same token, you're going to have two tissue machines that are going to be coming up in 2016, so I think that's going to help Washington County a great deal. Although there's so much more to do there, I think there's a bright side in Washington County. And I think, you know, we've got Eastport. To me, that is the best-kept secret in the world, and if we could open up Eastport a little more and do a little bit more work on the marine services that we can provide, I think we would be doing so much better in that county.
We've mentioned mills a couple of times in our conversation, Governor. We're wondering, and listeners are wondering as well, if you know of anything, if you've heard anything concerning the Verso Mill in Jay.
I think, frankly, I haven't heard anything, but in reading some of their financials and what's happening on the street, I think the Verso is in serious, serious trouble. And in all fairness, they've not been forthright and helpful to the state of Maine. I mean, they tried to get out of town in the darkness of the cover of darkness in Bucksport. They could have kept that mill alive, but they chose to sell it, to dismantle it and sell it for a lesser price to have it dismantled rather than sell it so it could operate. I find that pretty difficult to take as a governor. I'm hoping that we can salvage the power facility in Bucksport. I think that's a good state-of-the-art facility. I hope they don't dismantle it. I hope that we can keep that running for the Maine people and for our logging industry. But Verso's been a troubling company.
We wonder if there's anything that can be done ahead of time before some major closure happens at that Verso mill.
I don't see how, unless they're forthcoming and want some assistance, there's not much that we can do. We can certainly help them find a buyer if they would like. Rosaire is very, very good at doing that. He knows everybody in the industry. They have, you know, we're open to work with them, but they've just not been a company that's been willing to talk to us.
Yeah, that's not a big surprise there, to be honest with you. And if you drive by Bucksport and you see that mill being destroyed, the people in town really—it's ripping part of their heart out, really, to see that thing being dismantled.
You know, I hate to say this because I'm a pro business guy, but Verso hasn't been a good corporate citizen, and the sooner they get out of Maine, the better off Maine's going to be.
Governor, we talked to Senator David Burns this morning. Whiting this bill that would create a drug interdiction unit. Now, we know that you're getting the 10 drug enforcement agents you wanted. This is a separate move. What do you think?
I find it troubling. I find it troubling for this reason only. We are short 40 state troopers. Last year, they took three of them away to do a cold case squad, so now they're no longer working on the streets. They want to take another four. We just can't deal with losing 40, you know, another four agents, I mean, troopers. What they would be better off doing at this present time is if they would increase the wages to state troopers so that they make more or equal to some of the police officers in the southern counties, we wouldn't lose so many troopers to southern Maine and to New Hampshire, and then we could build our 40 troopers. We could get the vacancies filled, and if those were filled, then they could look at doing another program. But I understand what Senator Burns is doing. I understand that he's very concerned, as I am, but I think at this time we got to deal at the bigger picture is trying to salvage our troops. I mean, right now between the Marine Patrol, the wardens, and the state police, we're short something like 70 officers. I mean, people, young officers aren't coming in. They're going to local police departments because they don't have to work shift or 8 to 5, or if they work a shift, it's a steady standard shift, and the state police have to be all over the state at all hours and days of the week and night, and they get paid less money. So it doesn't make any sense.
Well, every time we bust one of these guys, they've always got $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 in their pocket. Why can't we confiscate that the way that we see some of the drug dealers' vehicles confiscated? This interdiction unit could very well pay for itself, Governor.
It could if you can find the people. But what do you do? Put a state troopers on the going after drugs and leave everything else? Domestic violence, which is a real critical issue in the state. I mean, there's a lot of other crimes being committed that we need to have adequate number of people. What I'm suggesting, Rick, is not saying that we don't do it. I'm saying that if you want to get the vacancies filled, we got to start paying these people what they're worth.
State Senator Scott Searway of Benton wants to increase the penalty, harsher penalties for those who are illegally importing drugs into Maine. That would take some effort to achieve the goal. You have to get some mandatory minimum sentences, that type of thing. Would you be in favor of that?
George, he doesn't go far enough. I think the death penalty should be the appropriate for people that kill Mainers.
You may have trouble getting it through, but yeah, I understand.
No, I'm all in. In fact, he said they were going to increase it to 4 years minimum. Man, I asked them to go to 20 years. I think these people, there's nothing good enough for these people. I think 4 years is. It's not good enough. We got to go to 20 years. We got to keep them here until they die.
Let's
actually, if you want my honest opinion, we should give them an injection of the stuff they sell. I'm just appalled at people getting angry at me for making a comment when they protect these people and the ACLU. Mind you, is the worst organization in the state of Maine protecting these people.
Maine Governor Paula Page, ahead of the event in Bangor this evening. I guess you'll be at Husson University, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and you'll be answering the questions and asking people if they're going to be tuning in. Governor, thank you for your time this morning. And
you know, Rick, what I think we ought to do is bring the guillotine back.
Guillotine now.
The guillotine.
We could have public executions and have, you know, we could even have... Which hole it falls in.
Is that part of your French background, the guillotine?
You got it. You got it. I like French history.
All right, Governor.
Governor, thank you so much. Have a great event this evening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next Tuesday here on the program, sir.
Very good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.